We welcome all to this Lord Nrisimhadeva series. This is the first chain of the series. It's going to go on till appearance of Lord Nrisimhadeva on 27th of May. Om Adnyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. Hare Krishna. So, today is the first chain in the series of Lord Nrisimhadeva's pastimes. Today, basically, generally during a lecture or a talk, we think of some message in mind and we discuss accordingly, like we have some broad topic and then following some subtopics and like that. But today, basically, I won't limit myself to that because I have to cover three chapters and there are many topics in those three chapters. Certainly, we can pick a few of them. But basically, I will take the narration of all the three chapters, chapter number 2, 3 and 4 of 7th canto, which begins with Hiranyakashipu's activities. But basically what we can try to focus something on this today's session is the divine and demonic nature. Because in the Hiranyakashipu's activities, the demonic nature is more clearly brought out. Also, we can locate, most of you may not have, but we can locate if some lingerings or some remnants of demonic nature are there within our consciousness, and then we can pray to Nrisimhadeva to remove it. Also, we should try to our own effort to remove them. We should not just sit quietly and hoping that Lord Krishna will do everything. It happens in devotional life. Sometimes we think we are the doer, so we remove the role of Krishna. And sometimes we think Krishna is the doer, so we don't do anything. Actually, Vraj Vihari Prabhu, he was telling, when we do, we should think we are the doer. But when we should think Krishna is the doer. So when we do, we should do with so much enthusiasm that I am the doer. But when we are thinking who is the doer, then we should know Krishna is the doer, we are not the doer. Both should be combined. But here we see in Hiranyakashipu's actions, he is a typical, exactly fitting into all the brackets or behavior patterns of a demon. We'll begin the story where Hiranyaksha has just been killed by Varahadev and all his family members. Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha are brothers. So Hiranyakashipu's brother's wife, his nieces and all relatives are crying and lamenting over the death of Hiranyaksha. So Hiranyakashipu, first acquisition on the Supreme Lord he puts up is Lord was supposed to be partial. And no, he has not partial because he has taken the sides of demigods. He has sided with them because demigods worshipped the Supreme Lord. This is a typical mentality of any conditioned soul. The first finger he tries to put on the opposite party. He never thought that how my brother behaved. What type of behavior and the activities Hiranyaksha did. So that Lord had to take this step. Our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, just few days ago I was reading his book, and in that there are four points of community building. In one point he says, first see all conflicts as our own faults. Very powerful point. And he says, see all conflicts as a occasion to grow, that is, expand or become more mature. First he says, see all conflicts as our own fault. And actually that's that. Fact many times. And many times we have conflicts and we think the opposite party is wrong. But mostly if we observe, our fault is also there in good amount. And even though whose your fault is there is difficult to determine. Whose your fault is there in conflict, Maharaj says that it's the opportunity to grow. Means become more mature, become more accommodative. So that way, the first typical reaction of demons is to accuse others. That is the nature. When something wrong goes on, we try to point fingers, blame others. So Hiranyakashipu is first blaming. This Lord is partial. Actually, it's not a Lord is partial. He did not understand how his brother behaved. It's just like telling a judge of a high court, the judge is partial. It's not a question of his partiality, it's the question of how the person in front of him has behaved. And we see in this world, the demonic people, at the drop of a hat, as we say, they are ready to change from friends, they are become ready to become foe. We see in this material world where people are very fanatic or very strong opinion and cruel. Two people may be together for a long time. We see in underworld gangs and some things like that, or even in politics. And small cause of some discontent, very small issue, and immediately both persons becomes enemy. Like we say, Ravan, his brother Vibhishan, he was actually sincere. He actually wanted well of Ravan. He was a well-wisher of Ravan, actually. All others, his so-called followers, were not his well-wishers. And because Vibhishan gave a small advice, which was actually correct and for the benefit of Ravan, which was not according to his desires, immediately Ravan branded him as enemy's man. He branded Vibhishan as enemy's man. He has been influenced by Ram and Vishnu. So the point of this demonic tendency is, if anything doesn't fit our thought process, our decision, immediately becomes my enemy. So Hiranyakashipu was thinking that because my brother is killed, Vishnu is my enemy. And actually all such thoughts of demons are ruled by selfish motives. We see many times such demons, they also become enemies to each other. They are fighting together and they find out that, oh, this person is also eyeing on something on which I am eyeing after the fight. And immediately, first they will kill each other. We see many times in the modern day life, they are business partners. As Anandan Prabhu was once telling some BPL or something in Bangalore, something, correct? That one son-in-law, there was one father. Maybe he can tell. You can give him wireless mic. A very good example. I don't know things proper. That Grant's son-in-law became very big and old.
There is one company called as a BPL. The BPL, the company was that it's a big electronic company in which the father has developed the full empire. And then he married his daughter to one of the son-in-law. Should I mention the name also? So it's the son-in-law joined the business with the father-in-law. And the son-in-law became very, very aggressive in business. And the empire became so expanded. And afterward, the son-in-law felt it that, no, I should get it. This father-in-law is a big burden on me. So then he started capturing the full market of BPL. All the telecom section and all other sections also, he captured it out. And then at a certain stage of time, a stage came in such a way that the whole empire was with the son-in-law and the father didn't have anything. And there was a clash. And the clash went to such an extent that he had to hand over, the father had to give it major portion of the empire to son-in-law. And the son-in-law took away the full telecom business, which was in crores. And because he took away everything, the father was in a huge debt. And because he was in huge debt, the BPL company was completely fall down. It went through so bad way because he had to fulfill all the debt. And the son-in-law enjoyed the life in such a way that he disposed of that BPL, you know, the BPL mobile which was in Bombay, BPL today, which you were, that he sold it. He sold, he made a big chunk of money and all money went to the son-in-law and father is suffering. This is the situation. And he brought his son-in-law just because he wanted to make a favor to son-in-law. And the daughter could not speak anything. The daughter was in between that she could not take favor of the father as well as to her husband. So she was in between. And finally she took the favor of her husband. So the father could not do anything. And this was the situation. The full empire was being completely washed up just because the son-in-law made it, took away everything of the empire.
Hare Krishna. So these are life. Anandan has many such stories. You can meet him afterwards. Renzo, Mike, he is going to speak more. Hare Krishna. So, yeah. We have special comments today in between. Anyway, so the point, Anandan is a little shy, he is not telling in detail. But one point here was the father-in-law had taken a big loan and made up a company. The son-in-law took the company and kept the loan on the father-in-law's name. So, son-in-law was enjoying the whole big company and father-in-law was repaying the debts. So, this is the typical nature of the people in this world, especially Kali Yuga. And Hiranyakashipu was also a similar way. We see actually, on the other hand, Maryada Purushottam Ram, we heard from Govind Prabhu's talks, after Ravan was killed, it was quite suitable that he could have insulted Ravan's dead body and things like that. But immediately afterwards, as soon as the Ravan is killed, Lord Sri Ram tells Vibhishan, now he's killed, now our enmity is over. Please give him a respectable funeral. Take him on a, he's a king, although he was demonic, he was a king. Take him on a respectable procession and give him a very respectable funeral. And also, when Sita was informed of the victory of Ravan by Hanumanji after the war, Hanumanji asked Mother Sita, these all the demonesses, she demons, they have been torturing you, harassing you for so many 10 months. You just tell me within few seconds, I'll finish all of them. But Mother Sita said, no, they were torturing me because of their master. And now since the master is dead, they are not at fault. Please excuse them. So we see, if some demonic person would have been there, he would have enjoyed torturing such people. Yes, do it more. That is the nature of demonic people, that they, anything that obstructs their own selfishness, he may be brother, sister, father, or any third person, any gentleman, he's ready to kill him, destroy him, physically, mentally, financially, emotionally, torture him. Anything that comes in the, there is no sensitivity to the respect of other living beings. And the Vedic culture is completely opposite. So here, Hiranyakashipu devises a plan to destroy the Supreme Lord. He thinks that there is a connection between the Supreme Lord, the demigods and the devotees. So he says, I will fight with Supreme Lord. Hiranyakashipu says, I will fight. And all my assistants, you go on the flourishing earth and destroy the civilization there. Here, Hiranyakashipu describes how is the earth flourishing. In the text 10 of second chapter, he says, while I am engaged in the business of killing Lord Vishnu, go down to the planet earth, which is flourishing due to Brahminical culture and a Kshatriya government. These people engage in austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, regulative vows and charity. Destroy all the people thus engaged. So, Srila Prabhupada, there is one more verse to it, where I will go a little later. But Srila Prabhupada points out that these are the symptoms and the means of a flourishing civilization. There is a Brahminical culture and a Kshatriya government. Brahmanas have to be qualified. Shamo, Dhamma, Tapas, Shaucham, Shantim, Arjam, Evacha. Actually, if we see such a person in the world, automatically people will respect him. One who is sense-controlled, always peaceful, performing austerities, clean, Shamo, Dhamma, Tapas, Shaucham, Shantim, Arjam, Evacha, a devotional person, a devotee. So yes, a Vaishnava is greater than Brahman, for sure, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said. But then we should also try to slowly imbibe these qualities into our personality. So here he says, go wherever you see some sacrifice, Vedic study, austerity, or regulative woes, or charity, you immediately should destroy those places. How he should destroy, he will tell in the next verse. Then he goes on further. Text 12. Yatra yatra dvija gavo veda varna shrama kriya. Tam tam janapadam yat sandipayat vrushchata. Immediately go wherever there is good protection for the cows and brahmanas and where the Vedas are studied in terms of varnashram principles. Set fire to those places and cut from the roots the trees there, which are the source of lives. Prabhupada basically comments further. He says there should be proper brahmanas and powerful kshatriyas and also perfect vaishyas protecting cows and the trees. He says trees should be protected also. They should not be cut unnecessarily for industrial advancement. And especially the fruit and flower growing trees. See, in Kali Yuga, the tendency is so bad. I've seen many places they put up some trees which neither give fruit, neither flower. They give some shade. But when I ask why it's like that, say, because if I put up a fruit tree or a flower tree, somebody will steal it. That's correct. But you are working hard and no one is getting fruits and flowers. Let somebody steal. At least some people in the world will eat some fruit and flowers. Now you are working hard to have a tree which is not benefiting anyone. But the tendency is if I am not getting, no one should get. And this is demonic mentality. Actually, let us plant a fruit tree and let someone else eat it, because anyway you are planting some nonsense tree which is not giving any fruit and flower. So let someone else eat it. In the Vedic culture, people planted lots of fruit trees. So that, but nowadays they won't allow that. Because then the commercial market will crash down. So they will say, no, your fruits will be stolen. So plant some other trees which don't do anything good. Just have some show. So in the Vedic culture, there was a concern. If I don't have, let anyone get it. We saw when we were staying, as Prabhupada said, actually, in the village where we were staying, the owner could actually say, come and eat whatever you want, but don't carry. But modern day people, they'll try to carry some ways, hide something here and there. So, but still, let somebody eat. Rather than having useless trees, let us always have some fruit trees, flower trees. So, he says, Hiranyakashipu says that wherever he sees any fruit and flower trees, uproot them from the root. Don't give any chance for them to come back. And Srila Prabhupada, he mentions somewhere in the purport. Another point is that trees should also be given protection. During its lifetime, a tree should not be cut for industrial enterprises. In Kali Yuga, trees are indiscriminately and unnecessarily cut for industry. So, we see, for our unnecessary necessities, the trees are cut uselessly. Actually, in the Vedic culture, even if a tree has to be cut for some reason, we have to first go and pray to that tree because it is also a person, offer respects. And then, as soon as the tree is cut, or before that, we have to plant another tree of the same type. And it's our responsibility that the trees grow up. Not that we just go on cutting anyone anyhow. This is a completely sensitive and insensitive behavior. Also, these demons, they are very expert by their philosophy to remove God from their picture. As Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was giving a class here, he said they are highly developed science, but their science stops at one point. Wherever the role of conscious entities come, the science stops. He said, suppose a car is moving on the street. This was an example of Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. And somebody asks, the science works this way. Why is the car moving? Then somebody may say, because the engine is running. Then somebody says, why is the engine running? Because they will say there is petrol in the engine. But then somebody says, why is there petrol? No, first they will say, why is the car moving? Because tires are moving. Why is the tire moving? Because the axle is moving. Why is the axle moving? The engine is moving. Why is the engine moving? Because the petrol is burning. Why did the petrol burn at the first place? Because spark plug was ignited. Why was the spark plug ignited? Because the key like this, which was vertical, became horizontal. And they say, this is our research. Because key that was vertical became horizontal, then the spark plug was ignited, then the petrol burned, then the piston moved, then the axle crankshaft mechanism moved, then the axle moved, and then the tires when the car is moving. But very nicely they forget that who made the key vertical to horizontal. That question they avoid very nicely. They say, this is all our scientific research. And we also get glamored by it. Oh, such nice. For example, in the recent days, they are making this Big Bang experiment in Switzerland or somewhere. It's actually a good way to earn a lot of money. But aside than that, they are doing, and we are thinking, oh, they are doing such a big experiment. They are throwing one proton on another proton. And for that, around 20 or maybe 1 lakh scientists are engaged. And many millions and billions of dollars are spent. And after that, after many failed attempts, they might have become successful in putting one proton on another proton. And just like in our villages or in our childhood sports, you would throw one stone and throw another stone at that. So they are doing something like that in a very sophisticated way. And then sometimes the stones would scratch, and there are some particular stones, when they are scratched, some sparks come out. So they say these protons are scratching and some energy is coming out. So, and then we say that's, and they say, oh, you know, understand, this is how creation took place. But they would not answer that to crash two protons, you have to pay billions of dollars and thousands of scientists. And then how did that when original protons crashed? That they want to avoid. So demonic people ignorant mass of people, they get completely enamored by this so-called show bliss of the demonic activities. They just don't think how the world is working. And these people are so expert in today's age, as Prabhupada mentions. Today's age is especially a demonic age. We just get enamored and we think, oh, we are so expert. Today, I heard recently, I was shocked, but it is a reality. That we are getting SIM cards at free cost. Not even zero rupees. One of our base members, he went and he got 10 Airtel SIM cards. I said, kya baba, kuch lottery laga kya? Nahi, Prabhuji, free mein milta hai, ek aadmi ko 10 card. aap ek le lo. He was just to everyone. You know what happens? Is there anything free in this world? We say there is no free lunch or dinner. Yeah, SIM card is free and tur dal is 100 rupees a kilo. You should understand there is some connection. Because demonic people know no one will purchase SIM card. Means very less they will purchase whatever they require. It is not a dire necessity. So they can give it free. But they know all the eatables are real necessities of life. Even if you keep 200 rupees kilo, we have to purchase. So we don't see the connection. They are getting money. Now, how can they give it free? They can't manufacture it free. They have to make the money somewhere. And we think, oh, see, we are cheating them by getting the 10 SIM cards free. Immediately, what happened in my mind, and I said, I don't want the second SIM card. As soon as I had one, and I got the second free one, the thought was, how much will the 2-card mobile cost? So, SIM card is free, but 2-card mobile cost 5,000 rupees. So, these demons are very expert. They will give SIM card free, but they will not give their mobile free. So, then money will come. Nothing comes free in this world. They tell them to give the mobile also free. Then if they give given the mobile free, then they will say, see, here this network is busy, here that network is good, so take a third one also. So demonic people, and we get fooled by them. We think, see, I fooled them by getting a second SIM card free. Actually, they fooled you by certainly making you buy the another handset which you did not require, which cost you 5,000 rupees. So this demonic world are very expert. And we as devotees should be very careful. And I just don't... People in this world are not at all thinking. And they just make such big games of words. And we just get cheated. They show a man smoking and they just write, be a man or something. I don't know how by smoking a person becomes man. There is no connection. I just don't understand. He will become smoke. If he smokes, his lungs are going to become smoke. He's going to burn. But just make all these words and all the... I can't say innocent water. The people, they just get fooled by it. They just show some half-dressed ladies and they say bold some actress name. How can wearing less dress be... If you want to be bold, at least go and fight in Kargil or something like that. It's not bold, it's shameless or nakedness. You can't, they just put some good words and then you are like this, and we just free society. They say America is a free society, so everyone is ready to do free anything. But Prabhupada says, where is freedom? You can do all nonsense, but then immediately you are attacked by the reactions. The diseases come. Some big basketball player was there, and he was very proud of having a relationship with many women at one point of time. And then later on, when he had some AIDS and other diseases, he just said, no, I have to change my opinion. So in this way, these demonic people, they are very expert at bewildering the innocent peoples. And if those who are not bewildered, those who are intelligent, what they will do? As Hiranyakashipu is telling, go kill them, burn the places, do anything to stop their good activities. So, we should understand, in this world, the devotees have to become more confident in what they... Today, even I would say, especially among devotees, They have more faith on demonic propaganda and less faith on the Vedic scriptures. Anything we'll judge with the science first and then with the Vedic scriptures. And we may be wearing dhoti, kurta, we may be practicing devotional life. Actually, why, if we are doing something right, why we should not have confidence? Once I was in many long years back, in maybe 1996 or 97, I was having this sound system service. And I had to carry all the boxes and the speakers. And we had once gone to a Lokhandwala complex for Raj Maharaj's program. Where nowadays, I think that Juhu Rathatra used to end at one time. Now it ends at another place. And myself and another devotee was there with me. We were unloading the speakers and everything. I was in dhoti kurta. At the time, white, and also it was a little spoiled because of all this loading, unloading. But two young boys of Lokhandwala complex in 95, 96, very, what do you call it, tip-top. They came and they told, hey, you look smart in dhoti kurta also. They were amazed that how can somebody wear dhoti kurta and not like be ashamed or like trying to hide themselves. And then I was also quick to answer. I said, we look smart only in dhoti kurta. People, they don't look smart in shirt and pant. And they were more amazed by this answer. That how can somebody speak like that? Actually, that is the required. Devotees, they should be full of confidence. Whenever we walk out, sometimes it happens when we are new, we try to hide our bead bag or something. See, people don't hide their cigarettes. They just show off like this. We should also show off bead bag. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Actually, if we are doing, the problem in Kali Yuga is, the fools are confident and wise are doubtful. The foolish people, they are confident of all their activities. The demonic people, they are doing all nonsense and they are confident. And those who are having some knowledge, they are a little bit doubtful and they think what I am doing is right or wrong. At least after reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we should not remember. Just by if the 1,000 people over here are confident of what they are doing, as Prabhupada said, 18 people, Prabhupada says something like that, and he was talking with his 18 leaders, and he said, we can make the whole world, we can take over the whole world in one day or something. 16 days, whatever, some days, few days. But he said, because we don't have the full faith. That is the reality. The most best beauty, best personality, everything best is to be confident in what you are doing. We may have a very good clothes, but if you are not confident in what you are doing, it won't have a good personality. We should be convinced of what we are doing. So therefore, in this world, these demonic people, they are trying to overtake. And devotees, if they are confident and if they are convinced of what they are doing, automatically it will spread a vibrations on the other people. Certainly, we may have to preach and arrange lectures. But you should never be doubtful or something like that. Yes, we are doing. Like a few days back, in our Lodhari College, they had this traditional day. You know, all the boys and girls, they wear some traditional days, some dhoti, kurta or something. So our devotee boys, they also wore dhoti, kurta, tilak and everything. They do it, tilak they do anyway. But that day they took the whole murdang karta and the whole harinam in the college primary. For 20 minutes there was a whole harinam and just that was a sensation. In fact, the points also went till the dean and the VC that something harinam is happening in our college. But it was a traditional day, it was excused. And after the harinam in that main classrooms are there around and there's main area in between. All the college students had assembled out of their classrooms. And one of our devotees also gave a speech for 20 minutes after the harinam was over. So in this way, if we are just confident, people will have an effect. Generally, that's what we lack. We think maybe the scientific discoveries are better than the Vedic knowledge. Maybe this is not correct at this time. Maybe Krishna is God, we should surrender to him. But maybe not like this in the present age. There are so many doubts. But the Vedic scriptures, we should know they are giving the perfect answers. Also, if you see further, this Hiranyakashipu, I may not discuss this point. I will discuss some points in detail because we have heard these points many times. He goes on to instruct his relatives, Hiranyaksha and his relatives, that don't worry for this soul. This body, because the soul is always changing the bodies. And he tells the story of King of Ushinara, that king died on the battlefield and all the queens were lamenting. And Yamaraj personally came as a boy, small boy. And he said, oh, alas, I can't see why these queens are lamenting. Although for the person whom they are lamenting are lying in front of him. Just because he is not speaking and talking, they are crying. And he speaks all the philosophy of our body and soul, and the queens get awakened and they stop the crying. In that, he also tells one, Hiranyakashipu again tells of a story of a Kulinga bird whose mate is pierced by the arrow of a hunter. And the male bird is now crying, oh, my mate has been killed and all these things. Unknown that the hunter is hiding again. And hunter is taking his own time to shoot another arrow. Again to kill the male bird. So this Yamaraj is telling that you are all crying over the death of your husband, but you don't understand that your death is also awaiting you in a very short time. So in this way, Hiranyakashipu, he gives good advice to his relatives. He said, we should not lament for the death. He's telling. Actually, in this material world, we devotees also, or the people, not devotees, the people in this world, they lament on the death of a people. But they don't lament on how he behaved before the death. Actually, everyone is going to die. In this world, death cannot be avoided, that cannot be changed. But how he behaved before death, that is very important. Does he behave in a proper righteous way or in a wrong way? So, Kulinga bird story tells us that no one can escape death. In fact, those who are lamenting for death will soon get it. There are incidences in this world. I know one which happened near my house, that one person on a neighboring house died. And some people from Bombay were coming, their relatives, to meet them in car. And just before our place, just maybe 10-20 kilometers before, in a road, the car made an accident. It's a sorry story, but still the fact remains that three of them died on the spot. So they're coming for the the final rites of a dead person, and they themselves had to die. Many times it happens. Another sad story had happened. These are sad stories, but I'm mentioning them so that we wake up to reality. Ratnagiri, there's one person, a person working in ST. He was a conductor or driver or something. And he had come to Bombay, 8-10 of them, in a jeep. And while going back, that jeep made an accident and he died. And hearing that the son has died, the father had a heart attack just by hearing the news. So father also died. And the son's body was taken home. The father had left. The son has left. And so one lady is his wife's, the person who died, his wife, she had become widow. Her father-in-law also died because the deceased person's father died. And when the relative of the wife's side came to see, they came to see their son-in-law, the person who first died, they saw both dead bodies. So the lady's father also died on the spot, seeing the two deaths. So in this way, it happened. It's a real story which happened only a few months back. So we just don't know when that death will come. It is going to come, but what is important is how we behave before death. That we don't lament any time, whatever mistakes we have, because that is actually going to be carried on. When we die, Yamaraj and all the other decision makers are not going to see how we died, or when we died, or which place, or exactly. They will see what we did before our death for all the 60 years of life. Actually, all these good instructions were given by Hiranyakashipu to Hiranyaksha's relatives and his own relatives. But the point is, he could not understand the instructions themselves. Or he knew them, but he could not appreciate and behave accordingly. There are two reasons we can say. There can be many more, but at least two I would like to point out. One is, when person is highly attached to sense gratification. Hiranyakashipu was, we'll see in future lifestyle. When a person is highly attached to sense gratification, it's very difficult for him to appreciate the Vedic instructions, even though he know him. We see in this material world, many people, they know the Vedic injunctions, but they find it a little difficult to practice in their life. And second is, it requires a mercy of devotees. to understand, appreciate, and to be able to practice the instructions. So after pacifying the relatives, Hiranyakashipu decides that no, I have to take the reaction or revenge. He says, I will go and now perform great austerities. See, Hiranyakashipu is going to perform great austerities. Why? We know to become deathless, to become eternal. He had at least, and he performed severe austerities. It is mentioned by Brahmaji himself mentions that no one in the past had performed such austerities. He said even Bhrigu Muni and many other sages had performed austerities, but no one could. For 100 celestial years, he remained without water and food. We know Vishwamitra, he remained only without water and food for 60,000 human years, which are very less compared to 100 celestial years. And then also that after that, he broke his tapasya and it was disturbed. So he said, Hiranyakashipu, no, he did not only remain without food and water. We are astonished by the tapasya of Dhruva Maharaj, who did not first eat for 3 days, or he ate every 3 days, and then dry lived 6 days. But just think, Hiranyakashipu, for 100 celestial years without food and water, not actually physically breathing also. Because, and not only, he was standing on legs with both hands up, and not only also on legs properly, he was standing on toes for 10,000 years. And slowly, slowly, his whole body was eaten. Except the skeleton, nothing remained. It was a big anthill. Bamboos grew up on his body. So much sand and soil deposited. And still he was maintaining life in his bones. And he was performing tapasya. And after that, 10,000 years, Brahmaji was pleased. So Brahmaji tells, you are performing tapasya so long. I am happy. In Kali Yuga, it is said, Nayam deha deha bhajan no loge, kashtan kaman arhati vidbhujane, tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. See, tapasya has to be performed. Human life is meant for tapasya. And animal life is also meant for tapasya. Animals perform tapasya helplessly. We see a tiger, he eats flesh. We may think, oh, he is happy. He is not enjoying. He gets, the nature has made the tiger's life highly miserable. Although tiger has the capacity to kill animals like deers and rabbits and other animals, but still it's very difficult for a tiger to capture a deer. Deer and all animals run much faster than the tiger. Actually, what the nature has done, tiger runs at a very high speed than deers, but they run only for 50 to 70 meters, at the most 100 meters. After that, they can't run. They can't run fast. And the deer can run a little slow, but it can go on running for kilometers. So, the tiger has to be within 100 meters of a deer, so that he can run up and capture them, if he has got to some chance. And nature has arranged, as soon as the tiger comes out of the den in the night, there are a few birds who fly on the in the air above the tiger and makes some particular noise. So it's very difficult for a tiger to get so close to some deer and other animals. And even when he gets so close, he looks for an old or baby deer. Even after getting so close, it's difficult for him to catch a young or an able-bodied one. After so many attempts of hunger, he gets one deer or any other animal. And then he has to keep the carcass rotting for 5-7 days and eat little. Many times the tiger do fast in the forest also. Not many. They have their life is quite some time it is fasting. They don't get any food. So animal life is full of tapasya. We see all animals, it's so much tapasya. To get the basic food, food, clothing, they have to perform so much tapasya. Human life is catching up quite close with the animals. And the more we are advanced, it is, we see in Bombay, people have to perform tapasya. The more the advance, the more tapasya. In the local trains, the first thing. Maybe in the cars, then traffic jams is another thing. Either way, you are too crowded with people, your cars are too crowded. You can't avoid. So much tapasya is there. Then you have to work. And with every passing day, the tapasya is increasing. Odd hours, you have to work. Late nights. No, what you call it, overtime. Calling on Saturday. Once in a month on Sunday also. And then you have to run. You don't have time to even eat your food. And even if you do have time, no, the habit has been lost. I was coming back from Nashik. I clicked that photo maybe in some presentation I saw. I coming back from Nashik and our train stopped at Igatpuri station. And Igatpuri, there are a lot of, that is like morning office time train. So they have good breakfast, idli vada walas. And so they are having that, as soon as the train stopped, every bogey had two idli vada walas. They know this is our regular business. But Igatpuri, the train stops for 15 minutes. But I saw all the people, they jumped down, the daily ones. And immediately started ordering that one bowl of vada, idli and vada and chutney. Some were saying two vada. One. And they took it. Although the train was going to stop for 15 minutes, I was amazed that they're just standing like this and eating in completely odd position. I said, they could have done it in a very nice way. Just take a bowl. There are so many empty benches on the station. Go sit there, have some prayer and eat it. But they were just standing in the most odd positions and just not even, they were just swallowing like, I don't know. And afterwards, they just washed their hands and still there are 10 minutes for the train to go. The engine has to change. So, there's a tapasya. They don't understand that by such eating, with such a speed and standing, what? Then they say, there are so much problems in my stomach, acidity and this and that. It's not required to do. Even in the modern day life, if we are peaceful and thoughtful, we can avoid a lot of tapasya. But as I said, the whole atmosphere has been contaminated and we have to thought. We have just stopped thinking. And we just think this is all right. So, Hiranyakashipu, he performed this tapasya. We say modern day politics. And what was his aim of performing the tapasya? Become immortal? That was the means, but he had some higher aim. Which I found out today in the Bhagavatam. It's spoken for many verses. His aim was to become Brahmaji. Yeah. His aim was to remove Brahmaji from his position. Getting the mercy of Brahmaji, getting the benedictions from Brahmaji, and ultimately overthrow Brahmaji. He writes that I want to overthrow Brahmaji and occupy his post, because that is the topmost post available in this material world. So this is another demonic mentality, to take help from someone and to destroy him. We see actually in that 12th canto, one of the prophecies of Kali Yuga, it is mentioned. In Kali Yuga, the ministers will kill the king to become kings. This is the symptom of Kali Yuga. That ministers, they will plot. And we see in Indian history and the whole world history, again and again this happens. The minister, he gets some power. He makes some plot. He overthrows the king. We saw Aurangzeb. He overthrew his father Shah Jahan. So many kings have done that. We see in the politics, the son comes. And the worst point is, attachment is there. Each political leader wants to make his son or son-in-law or daughter a politician. But he also has the fear that he or she will overthrow me. At the same time, he cannot make another one his successor. So what this happens in family things also. Like a father is there. And his son is not obedient. So what he does? He doesn't give the money and the property to his son. At the same time, he has the attachment. So he gives it to his grandson, who is only 2 years old. Thinking that his grandson is a gentleman. It's not possible. This is typical. Attachment is also there. At the same time, he can't accept the reality. That my son is not obedient to me. So the grandson, I don't know, they say in Hindi, Baap se beta badkar, or something like that. Only thing, he does all nonsense, not in front of the grandfather. He may do it after the grandfather has left his body. So in this way, we see in modern politics or modern lifestyle, this is a typical mentality. To take help from someone and overthrow him. It may be in financial fields, politics, kings, business. Take the help and there is no gratefulness remaining in people's heart. And Hiranyakashipu wanted that. We have all heard that he wanted that I may not die from this and that and that. But he mentions here. Here actually demigods are telling, "Oh Lord, we have heard from the reliable sources that in order to obtain your post," demigods are telling to Brahmaji. The demigods have heard that in order to obtain the Brahmaji's post, Hiranyakashipu is now engaged in severe austerity. He prays, Brahmaji, Hiranyakashipu is saying, "The supreme person within this universe, Lord Brahma, has gotten his exalted post by the dint of severe austerities, mystic power and trance. So I will perform more severe austerities." And "I will endure with such austerity and mystic power for many, many births." So Hiranyakashipu is telling, "I will do it for many, many births as well." And not only this, he is ready to perform the austerities for many births, and thus I shall occupy the same post occupied by Brahmaji. So beginning, like we know this Vrukasura, he had from the beginning he had clear idea. "I will take benedictions from Lord Shiva and then destroy him." This is very clear cut another demonic mentality in this world. On the other hand, the devotees, it sometimes happens. We have to be very careful. Actually, we have to be grateful to every person who has helped us in any way in our life. Physically, spiritually, anything. Every person, that is a Vaishnav. He is grateful to everyone. And on the other hand, we see the demonic mentality is the one who has helped you the most. He is ready to immediately destroy him, take the position of his guide or something like that. So then the demigods, they go in 1 minute, I just open the verses. They go and they tell Brahmaji what will happen by the demigods are reporting what is happening by the performance of austerities of Hiranyakashipu. They are telling his desire is to reverse all the set orders of this universe. He wants those who perform punya should go to hell, and those who perform pap should go to heaven. Means his assistants, those who give others trouble should be elevated to the heavenly planets. And those who do good activities should be sent to the hellish planets for you. In fact, Hiranyakashipu wants that one who can give troubles to others should be given more power. And he likes to harass other people. He wants that to be advanced. And he wants to remove us from our homes, demigods are reporting. And they are telling, by his tapasya, just to attain this aim, he wants to do it afterwards. But just listen what is happening right now. By his tapasya, so much heat is being generated from his body that all the world is feeling the heat. Even our heavenly planets are burned. They are having the effects of the heat being created from Hiranyakashipu's tapasya on the earth. Please go and do something. Not only that, they say, if Hiranyakashipu gets the power, what will happen? "Oh Brahma, your position within this universe is certainly most auspicious for everything, for everyone, especially the cows and brahmanas. Brahmanical culture and cow protection can be increasingly glorified, and thus all kinds of material happiness, opulence, good fortune will automatically increase. But unfortunately, if Hiranyakashipu occupies your seat, everything will be lost." So ultimately, they inform that on the earth, this Dvija Gavam Parameshtham, that the we may have to analyze why the Brahmanas have to be protected. A qualified Brahman, just by looking at a qualified Brahman, it will have a very positive effect on another people. We see as Narad Muni, he went to meet Mrugari. Even by being in the presence of Mrugari, Mrugari had a small change of heart. So a qualified Brahman is a very important entity, who is a perfect gentleman, who is sense-controlled, who never even desires bad of anyone else. What to speak of, do bad. He is completely indriya-nigrahi and equipoised, peaceful, not disturbed in any condition of life. So So he says such people have to be protected and the cows have to be protected. And then by that what will come? Bhavaya bhute kshemaya shreyase. So Srila Prabhupada explains by Brahminical culture and cow protection, prosperity will come. Let me see. Yeah, material happiness, prosperity, good fortune, and Prabhupada says by the word shreyase. Here the word shreyase is used. Prabhupada says even it will result by of the living entities going back to the spiritual world. Shreyas means ultimate benefit. So while they are by the protection of brahmanas and the cows, while in this world material happiness, opulence, good fortune will come, and ultimately all the entities will be promoted to the spiritual planets. So demigods are telling Brahmaji, if you are not in charge and Hiranyakashipu becomes Brahmaji, then all these things will be reversed. And already Hiranyakashipu has tried it. After the killing of Hiranyakashipu tried to kill all those people. So after reporting thus, we go ahead. Then Brahmaji, he hears this report and he appears in front of Hiranyakashipu. In the first statement, he makes it clear what is the position of Hiranyakashipu. Brahmaji, as soon as he comes in front of Hiranyakashipu, he says, "Oh best of Asuras, for this reason," he says, "I am happy with your tapasya. You have done extreme tapasya, even more than all the sages. And for this reason, I am ready to offer you any benedictions according to your desire. I belong to the celestial world of demigods." So see, Brahmaji is making a point clear. I belong to the world of demigods who do not die like human beings. So demigods don't lie. So he says, you don't belong to that world. So although I am ready to give you all benedictions, you understand that you are going to die. Although you are subject to death. So he makes, although you are subject to death, your audience with me will not go in vain. So whatever you desire, you can ask from me. But still he makes it clear that you are subject to death. So that point is being made clear. And we should understand. Actually, Akinchan Krishna Prabhu was telling us in one class that just like in human society, when somebody does something wrong, we say, you become a gadha. Or you become some donkey or pig or something like that. This statement is used in the heavenly planets. In the Swargaloka, if someone does something wrong, they say, I curse you to become human beings. Aap jaake aadmi ban jao prithvi pe. And here we are proud. I am Mr. Universe and Miss Universe. But anything of all these positions is a curse. It's like outcast. Like in the classroom, our teacher would sometimes say, go out and stand. And when the boy would come back in, all would say, aapko kala se bahar nikala. Similarly, the human, when somebody is to be punished in Swargaloka, they say, go out on the earth. And take birth there. And this is the birth on the earth, which we are experiencing. But still within that is Maya. Within that we are trying to enjoy. Be happy. Just like we look at a birth in some insect, or some snake, or some goat, or anything. He doesn't think that way, the way we look. Within that birth, he is trying to enjoy senses. And actually, demigod's birth is actually god of class for Brahmaji. From that level. And anyone in this world, everyone in this world are actually god of class from the spiritual world. Because we did something wrong in spiritual, they said god on the earth. In the earth, we may have some Brahma's birth, or hellish planet's birth, or human birth. But this is all outbirth. And within that, we are trying to enjoy. So, this Brahmaji makes it clear. Hiranyakashipu, you are going to die. But still, what you ask will be fulfilled. So, you ask what you want. So, Narada Muni continued. Hiranyakashipu asked all his desires. First, see, Hiranyakashipu was actually a little intelligent, but not so intelligent. First, before asking, he started glorifying Brahmaji. Oh, Brahmaji, you are the supreme person within this universe. You are the original one. You are the greatest, you are most powerful. All the glories that are actually to be given to the Supreme Lord were attributed to Brahmaji. There are many 10-12 verses glorifying. My dear Lord, your form as the Vedas personified and thorough knowledge relating to activities of Yajnid Brahmanas, and all he is glorifying. 5, 10, 20, 15 verses is glorifying. Hiranyakashipu is glorifying the Brahmaji. And then in the end, what he says? 1 minute. That takes 35, yeah. I'm just searching Hiranyakashipu. So after glorifying, oh my Lord, means he's telling Brahmaji, being changelessly situated in your own abode, you expand your universal form within this cosmic manifestation. So all these things he glorifies. And in text 35, conclusion of his all prayers, this is a typical demigod worship. Brahmaji, Hiranyakashipu is performing. He just glorifies, aap hi ye hain, aap hi wo hain, you are this, you are that, you are the original source, you are Brahman, you are... And in the end, what does Hiranyakashipu says? Oh my Lord, O best giver of benedictions, if you will kindly grant me the benediction I desire, please let me not meet death from any living entity created by you. So basically, when some people come to us and they start speaking something, we understand that he is glorifying. And they say, hum bolte, seedha kaam ka baat bol sir. Just don't cover up the matter. Just tell what is required and finish off the business. So this is a typical demigod worship or puja in this world. We just glorify and just speak good and good and good. In the end, we say all that, but if you can do something for me, then this is the request. That is a typical way of worshipping demigods in this world. And Hiranyakashipu is also following the same standard. And we see on the other hand, the pure devotees, they also glorify the Supreme Lord. They're excellent prayers by pure devotees. But in the end, they say, just maintain me as your servant. They don't say that, you become my servant. You give me this, you give me that. This is a very striking. Even demons sometimes, they perform demigod worship. When they understand that there is some higher being than me, which is demons, now they are expert at one thing. They will be cruel to other people. They will do all horrific activities. But once they understand somebody is more powerful than me, they will immediately surrender to him. You are the greatest. You are everything. Till that time, they can destroy him and become that position. This is demonic mentality. Just to somehow or other make a show of surrender and then conquer that person. So here, Hiranyakashipu is telling, please, you are so great, Supreme Lord, but make me free from death. And then he says, let me not die inside, let me not die outside and things like that. Let me not die from this hand and that hand. And after getting, Brahmaji says, what benedictions you have asked are very difficult to get. No one up till now had received these benedictions in the history. I don't think anyone had. Ravana also asked, but not so close. He left many loopholes. Kumbhakarna was going to ask, but he asked to get sleep for 6 months or something like that. Many people performed, but Hiranyakashipu was the greatest. Even Vena was powerful, but he could not control the demigods. Hiranyakashipu, except 3 persons, everyone was under his control. Except Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva. Except these 3 persons, everyone was under the control of Hiranyakashipu. All the great demigods. So after getting the benedictions from these boons, immediately Hiranyakashipu went and captured the Swargaloka. And he started staying there. Even Narad Muni had to serve. I think it is mentioned somewhere in here. Narad Muni himself says that I also had to become... Oh my dear king. Okay, this will come. Narad Muni's verse is there. Yeah. Oh Maharaj Yudhishthir, the descendants of Pandu, by dint of his personal power, Hiranyakashipu, being situated on the throne of Indra, controlled the inhabitants of all the planets, the 2 Gandharvas, I myself, all the Vidyadharas, Apsaras and Sages, all offered prayers to Hiranyakashipu again and again to just glorify him. So Narad Muni is saying, I also was in that category. Sometimes Prabhupada says, sometimes in this material world, great personalities become controlled by asuras. But that doesn't mean they have been defeated. Lord is taking his own time. Previously, Hiranyakashipu, he conquered. And then after that, he started enjoying the heavenly planets. with his demonic mentality. Let's see how he started enjoying. First, just understand, Indra's residence was made of coral and emeralds, and walls were crystal, columns of Vaidura stone. There are canopies, well decorated, beautifully bedecked seats, silken beddings, all this beautiful music, and Hiranyakashipu was enjoying. Oh, my dear king, Hiranyakashipu was always drunk on strong smelling wines and liquors, and therefore his coppery eyes were always rolling. Nonetheless, because he had powerfully executed his great austerities and mystic yoga, although he was abominable, all but the three principal demigods, Lord Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu, personally worshipped Hiranyakashipu to please him by bringing various presentations with their own hand. It's a very powerful position. Except Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu. Everyone else was getting him gifts and offerings. And Hiranyakashipu was enjoying with his wives and ladies and some strong smelling liquors. This is the standard of enjoyment of demonic people. Enjoying the things which are in ignorance. Actually, this is ignorance. I was mentioning this point. Modern day civilization, I was walking out of this some management college, Sydenham or somewhere in Churchgate, I don't know. Some college. And outside the college, there were very high-fi boys and girls. And all were smoking cigarette in great style. As I said, the demons, they are very confident of what they are doing. They are smoking cigarettes. And I was thinking, what is the use of their management degree if they can't read and understand what is written on the packet? It's written on the packet, cigarette smoking is injurious to their health. It is not even written, it may be injurious. It is written, cigarette smoking is injurious. If may is okay, it may happen 10 and not to me. Different type of injuries will come. I said, this is management degree. What's the difference? It is not education at all. So these demonic people, Hiranyakashipu, he was become such a powerful person. But still, he could not understand what type of life, what he should eat and drink. Sometimes, I don't know, I have less experience of this, but it happens many times. ST, to travel in ST is little not so comfortable. Some bad smells are there. Plane is nice. But plane, you can understand. You can get this all strong smelling liquors being sold everywhere. I experienced once that all the people, they are just, they think, what their mentality is, see, again, how Maya cheats. They think because we have paid some dollars or some rupees for a ticket, which includes all these items, I should take maximum of it. They just drink liquor or all these nonsense things because they have paid for it. This is another cheating. They have paid for something and just they say, no, we should be as much as possible, free mein hai. Even the best of the people, in the sense best of the so-called class people in this world, they also think that way. Let me drink. And the whole plane gets filled of all these bad odors. I was traveling a few days back in that Kokan Kanya Express from here to Ratnagiri. It is a horrible train. Generally, we don't travel. And that day, because it's Goa train, na, that's why we should not travel. And that day, it was some big, all young boys, managers or something, 25, 30, 32 years, 25, 30. Some company, I think some Reliance company or something. I don't know, sure, was taking them for picnic. All the managers and sub-managers from all India had come. And their whole, so all the four bogies of AC of that train was already pre-booked by this company. Some few unfortunate people like me were there. Here and only few. And the whole train from beginning 11 o'clock till night 2:30, all strong-smelling liquors, strong-smelling, bad-smelling foods were completely consumed over there. I said, these are the leaders of the society. Once or twice, I could even see all dark colors. They had got all the glass and everything. They had different shaped glass were there. And they are drinking. And we had to, somehow the, I had to win amongst all this situation. But then, is the fact? So-called educated people. And the foolish people, the more the Kali Yuga is progressing, the more pride they are taking in doing nonsense activities. As I said, in India, previously, if someone wanted to drink, he had to go in some corner and some dark room. In Bombay, we see these bars with full transparent glass. And inside, they are drinking as if they are doing some big show. this Kaliyuga is advancing. And Hiranyakashipu, he was doing the same thing. And we just think that by getting all these things, we are advancing in our life. But we forget that this life is going to end. Hiranyakashipu was living his life transgressing all the laws which are supposed to be followed. And he lived a very long life. He controlled the universe to such a degree that whenever he wanted rain, he could get. The trees produce the fruits in abundant quantity at any season. All the demigods were under his control. But still, it is mentioned here in text 19, this was that even after having all these things, let me see what Hiranyakashipu says himself. In spite of achieving power to control in all directions, in spite of enjoying all types of sense gratification as much as possible. So he had full sense gratification as much as possible, full control. Hiranyakashipu was dissatisfied because instead of controlling his senses, he has remained their servant. Prabhupada mentions, sense gratification can be expanded to whatever imaginations we can think of. Whatever imagination we can think, beautiful house, beautiful opposite sex, beautiful foods, beautiful things to eat and clothes and dress and what it is. Whatever we cannot, beyond our imagination, we can expand our sense gratification. Prabhupada writes, still, that cannot give satisfaction. And this is illusion of this material world. All are running after that carrot of increasing their sense gratification. And we see Hiranyakashipu, no one can increase. Can any one of us even think of increasing our sense gratification somewhere, anywhere close to Hiranyakashipu? No death, controlling all the seasons, rivers, oceans, all 33 crore demigods under his control. Means practically, all the Indian government under your control. Actually, Indian government is not proper example because Indian government cannot control the land of India. There are so many Maoists and this and that who are beyond the control of Indian government. But demigods, they have absolute control. So all that was under the control of Hiranyakashipu. No death, always young, was still unhappy. And why people in this world are foolish, including myself and some of us, still they desire some sense gratification. Thinking some sense gratification will make me happy. This is the greatest maya. No one, until, even amongst devotional life, if we are after sense gratification, in an allowed category, permitted category, still our life cannot be satisfied. We are after sense gratification of clothes that are permitted, of food that is permitted, our lives cannot be satisfied. We may enjoy senses, yes. But then, you see, immediately after the enjoyment of senses, as soon as sense enjoyment is over, immediately we feel a depression. Our sense enjoyment graph goes high, but immediately after that, we feel a very low. It's just like any intoxication. There's some high, and then we go low. So any sense gratification is going to result in a low. And foolishly, we keep on doing high again and again, trying to eat something fancy, drink something fancy among the permitted category. We are or behave in some way fancy just to have some subtle sense gratification or even gross. But still, as a devotee, if we engage in such activities, we should understand that such activities are not going to be successful. Such activities are going to give us unsatisfaction. All the demonic activities are going to fail, as Hiranyakashipu's activities failed. He did so much, such a highest degree, but he failed. He was killed. These people in this material world, they don't understand. We think, we, in human beings, including us, have more faith on modern systems than the Vedic scriptures. That paradigm has to be shifted. We can't we not see at one time they are making big show, we'll go to the moon and go to the moon and go to the moon. And everyone has now forgotten the moon. No one even talks about that. Whether they went or not, that's a different topic. I don't want to indulge in that. But even if they went, where is it is now? 25 years has happened, it's an irrelevant topic. We now had made great advancement, now cashless, dealings. Dealing with cash is a little dangerous. But I have heard many times that devotees, or even like I know devotees or people, they're getting their bank accounts hacked. I know one devotee who got his first payment. He got some good job, an engineer, software engineer. And he got his first payment of 25,000 rupees. And he had some plans. And in 2 days, his account was emptied. Some account was hacked and something. There are systems to do that. So this, don't think in this material world, just by advancement of technology, our money will be safe. We see so many times the ATM cards, they are debit cards, they are misused. So many things are happening. This material world, we should understand, can't be made free from suffering. And more we try to enjoy, the more depressed we are going to experience after enjoyment is over. Actually, this is the part of material world. Because we talk with people who are working many times, they say, Prabhuji, it's too much to continue working. I want to give up job. I think it's enough. I said, this is the problem. When you should do the job, you want to give up. And after 20 years, I will tell, give the job. You say, no, I want to continue. No. In material world, this is there. When people should give up job at the age of 50 or 55, they want to elongate. No, I should take care. Some more money. And when they should not give up the job, they want to give up. Enough. So much. Actually, this is, either is going to give us frustration because we are doing for our own motive. We want to give up job when we are forced to do it at a young age for our own enjoyment. And after later on also, we don't want to give up because of our own enjoyment. We may say, no, this is for Krishna's service. But actually, inside, the main factor of decision making is not Krishna's service. It is, I like this, and then this is for Krishna's service. The first is, I like to do this, and then this. So, up till that point, the problem will remain. In this material world, this demonic mentality, some lingering, some influences are there, even in practicing devotees. As I said, mainly with the faith aspect, anything doubtful comes, we first refer to the demonic sciences rather than the Vedic scriptures. We have to change that. Also, we have to change our sense gratification even in this life, because the rules of this world will hold true. Just because we are devotees, we can't jump from a building and say Krishna should save us. The material world is going to have its effects. Similarly, even on being a devotee, if we do wrong type of sense gratification, the effects are going to be there. Just because we are devotees, we can't say no, we can do anything and everything. Also, after this, there is some chapter describing the glories of Prahlad Maharaj. Actually, that is the next week's topic, and I don't want to go too long today. I want to keep the topic short. But there's 2 points I will make out. I'll just read the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj so that we know next week are the glories of Prahlad Maharaj being spoken by His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu. It's suitable. For me, the demonic topics were there, and for him, the devotional topics are there. It's a right choice, I think, made by the authorities. But still, I will just mention the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. Brahmanya Sila Sampanna. The son of Prahlad, a son of Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj, is described here. He was completely cultured as a qualified Brahmana. A qualified Brahmana, Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, Shama, Dhamma, Tapas, Saucham. He was peaceful. Just think of any one of these qualities. Do we have it? He was peaceful means not agitated in any condition. He was self-controlled. He was austere. He was purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. So Prahlad had these qualities. So he was a Brahman. Then he was a Shil Sampanna. He had good character. Then he had determination to understand the absolute truth. He had full control over his senses and mind. And like the super soul, he was kind to every other living entity. I think this coming prana is the topic. What is that? Ecological wisdom. Quotient or something. So, Radhanath Maharaj, he spoke about, what was his Maharaj's last topic? Last prana's topic? Yeah, Vedic solution to climate changes. Yeah. So, here Maharaj beginningly told the story of dog and baby dog. Not a very, so again, a sad story. But this part, he was kind to every living entity. This is the connecting link, we can say, between the two pranas. And the best friend of everyone. A Vaishnav or a person, a gentleman, has to be kind to every living entity. In his personal, all types of dealing. If he says, no, I don't know if my such act is causing some harm to another being. And just understand, the more we are kind to other living entities, more satisfied and joyful we are. It's an ununderstandable equation. More we give to others, more we sacrifice for others. More we are kind to others, on our own decision, the more we feel pleasure. We have some experience of this in our family life. Sometimes a father gives something to a child, the child enjoys, we feel the father also feels joy. Is it not? It happens. So why it should not be expanded to the whole society? But then we say, no, this is mine. This family is mine, or this is my neighborhood. Actually, a Vaishnava, or an advanced person, he thinks the whole society of not only humans, every living entity. He is kind to every living entity and best friend to everyone. To respectable persons, he exactly behaved, Prahlad, like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. And to his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother. So just because he was a, sometimes this another trait comes, just because we become devotees, we think we are emotionless. But to the seniors, he was like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. And to equals, he was like a sympathetic brother. And he considered his teachers, spiritual masters and older God brothers to be as good as the supreme personality of Godhead. So teachers, spiritual masters and elder God brothers to be as good as Sakshad Haritvena Samastha Sastra, we sing in the morning. He was completely free from unnatural pride that might arise from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy and so on. So this is another danger. We may have riches, beauty, aristocracy, good education, but subtly, it's very subtle, some pride comes in. So Prahlad was free from that. I just read a few more points. He was never envious of Vaishnavas like other Asuras were, even though born in their family. Envy towards a Vaishnav. That is another very important quality to be avoided. He was not agitated when put in danger. Very difficult. When put in danger, he was not agitated. He was peaceful, remembering Krishna. And he was neither directly or indirectly interested in fruitive actions. He considered everything material to be useless. And therefore, he was completely devoid of material desires. He always controlled his senses and life airs. And being of steady intelligence and determination, he subdued his lusty desires. There are many more qualities in the coming 2-3 chapters. But this is just an example of what is going to come next Sunday. Maybe today we heard what we should not be. But next Sunday, I think Radha Upinath Prabhu will tell more better what we should be. So I welcome all of you for that again, and thanks for tolerating for whatever time. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Or we'll have some kirtan. Hare Krishna.